Good evening, everyone, and happy Tuesday, favorite day of the week, because you are here with the Rainmakers Power Hour podcast with our wonderful host, Wendy Butler. And of course, we have Leanne Nguyen, Miss Credit herself. I'm Macy Nelson, and we are on Chatter Social. So listen, we love all of you. We're streaming on X, we're streaming on YouTube. I think all the tweets and all the things that I'm not savvy enough to know all the things that we're streaming on, but I do know this. If you want to ask our guests a question, you want to interact with us, there's only one way to do it. Inevitably, every week we get questions on YouTube. We can't answer them. There's only one place that you can ask the questions, and that's right here on Chatter Social. It's a free app. Download it. Join us here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern. We have a doctor in the house tonight, but your shot for the next hour to interact with him. He's a famous doctor. We're excited to have him. And I know we have some people to thank for this doctor to be in the house. So thank you again for joining us on all the apps. But again, this is the only one. So download the app and join us here. Credit, who do we have to thank for tonight?
Oh, thank you, Macy. We have special sponsor, and it is William and Harry. So for those looking at Wendy's, William and Harry is luxury at its best. Golf, apparel, shoes, accessories, on and on and on and on. So if you want to look classy, fancy, whatever the word you want to do, luxury, you want to be able to get into William and Harry. We want to do really a special thanks to them. Every episode is sponsored by William and Harry. We're going to have other sponsors coming up. So definitely stay in contact, check out their website, and also check in with us on YouTube. Definitely give us a follow on YouTube. All the sponsors will be there. All the guest information will be there. So it's a really good resource. So definitely follow us on YouTube, Rainmakers Power Hour. Go ahead, Wendy.
We have a very special guest tonight. We have Dr. Scott Wagner with Advanced Pain Management of Virginia. Dr. Wagner started out in sports medicine and then went back to school to get a doctorate in chiropractic care, has a sports background himself. He was a college baseball player. He was a pro in the minor leagues and worked on the PGA Tour sports medicine team. He's well known for his non-surgical and post-surgical advanced pain management techniques, which we are going to talk about tonight. And he's quoted as saying, "I'm usually not the first doctor that the patient sees, but I will likely be the last." I love that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wagner.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So you started out in sports medicine and then decided to go back and get your degree in chiropractic. Tell us why you decided to do that.
One of the jobs I got out of school during my residency was with the 96 Olympics. I was 27 years old and running this whole department. And so the IOC had three chiropractors issued for that 96 Olympics to test the effectiveness, because around the world and the country, people were using this and getting relief. I didn't know what they were, but all I knew was physics, force plates, biomechanics, and I was there to find athletes' injuries, which is quite difficult because it takes so much to hurt them. This is like a fine-tuning thing. What I did find is that when we were there, the people that interacted with the chiropractors in certain conditions, there was a different change in the physics and my measurements. So I got fascinated by that, positive changes. So I didn't know. I wasn't taught that in medical school. I knew everything about biomechanics, but they were moving specific things in ways that I could measure. And that was really fascinating for me. After that job was over, I developed their sports medicine program at the chiropractor school. And in trade-off, I got a degree at the end. So it was probably the most comforting school I went to. It was difficult. I didn't think it was going to be difficult. The anatomy wasn't difficult, but the philosophy and the change and learning how to do all those stuff. But what I had was that I had two philosophies that didn't ever talk to each other, never blended with each other. So to put it in perspective, 30 years ago, no one on ESPN was talking about chiropractors. And now it's common, right? I was at the forefront of learning how to integrate medicine and chiropractic together. And that's came pretty much my whole life. I use chiropractic as a mechanical device, one of our implements for patients. Sometimes we use it, sometimes we don't, but knowing how to, way back when, 27 years old, I actually proved why chiropractic work in orthopedics. But I didn't know that was important because I didn't know anything about politics or hospitals or medicine. So it's been pretty good. It was a good grounding experience, but it paid off later in life.
Wow. Dr. Wagner, I've spent some time with you and you have such a passion for helping people. And so many times we hear doctors are trained to treat the symptoms and not fix the problem. And you're not like that. You're the last doctor they see because you really care about solving the issue and what's causing it. And let's get to the root cause. Have you always had a passion for medicine, helping people? How did you get into the medical field? Is this something you just broke out? This is what you wanted to do?
No inklings at all. If you went to my high school yearbook, it was probably more about he's going to be an athlete, if anything. My focus was on being a professional baseball player. And college was just a venue that paid me to do something I thought I was good at. I think what happened was I had to choose a major when I came to the States, and the sports medicine was a major. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. I'm always hurt as an athlete. Maybe I learned how to fix myself a little bit. And because as an athlete, you're really never 100% if you're playing in a sport. You could say you're 100%, but that's to a coach because you don't want to be benched. But the reality is you're training hard. There's always something tweaking. So that was a natural migration for me. I got a master's degree in sports medicine and I really learned. It was probably the first time I went to school where I never had to study. It just came very natural. So at that point, a passion grew because I could play baseball and go to school and enjoy being in class. I was getting compliments from the professors, like, oh, that's really great work. I never had that in my life. No one before that was saying, oh my God, you're such a great student. You know, I was smart enough to get by, but I wasn't really interested. So I finally found something I was interested in, but my focus was baseball. Eventually, I got sick of the politics and the economics of baseball in the minor leagues. I didn't get a pink slip, just chose to go do my residency. So yeah, something clicked inside me, said, you know, I'm better at this than this. And if you're playing AAA, you're almost there. I can't tell you how many times my brother wanted to punch me in the face for leaving, but I'm always about that. So I would say that I'm always about, if I don't enjoy what I'm doing, I'm probably not going to do it. And if I don't enjoy the people I'm with, I'm probably not going to hang around. It's been the guiding light of my whole life. I've always done what I enjoyed. I probably get that from my dad. He worked for IBM. He was a CEO. I've never heard him complain about a day of work in his life. He just loved it. He worked for them till he was 74. He just retired. It's kind of crazy. But he never complained. He just, it was his focus and he liked doing.
Yeah. You definitely have a gift for it. I would say that. You say it's what you were interested in, but really it's your gift. And I have been an athlete my whole life. I was a D1 athlete, pro athlete, and you are what I would call a trifecta. And I've never met anybody like you before. So you've been a pro level as an athlete. So I understand. Oh, you're going to put...
You sound like three huge dogs.
Three huge dogs. But I'm going to brag about you while you're dealing with your dogs. When I met Scott, he's a very smart doctor. He knows what he's doing. And then I learned not only is he an MD, but he's also a chiropractor and he's been on the other side as a pro athlete. So you're what I would call a trifecta. A lot of us will have an ailment or an ache. We go to a chiropractor who will then maybe refer us to a doctor, or we go to a doctor who says, you need to go to a chiropractor, and you are a true one-stop shop. Give us a little bit, where are you located? For me personally, I know I wanted to talk to you about some of the stuff that you do. That's a little bit cutting edge, but where are you located and how can you serve the community that's not in your area?
Yeah, so I set up shop after my residency in Charleston. I went to University of Virginia, so Charlottesville, Virginia is where I've been for 24 years. I was a team doctor there for 19 years and I've always had a side clinic. And I was with the PGA Tour, NFL, NBA, it doesn't matter. The job was the same. It was to find a solution for the athlete to keep continuing to play. And so that just became a much different way to analyze people. And I just took that over to my regular clinic. And it was actually quite easy to do that to a 50-year-old that was just trying to run or go to the gym or do yoga, because they weren't looking for tenths of seconds or PRs or make it to the next level. So to answer that question, I'm based in Virginia because I like living in a moderate-sized city. I grew up in a big city, so one of the goals I always wanted. And I think just with technology and just life, I don't think the distance was as far. I would say that in my 30s, my patients came from about 100 miles around. Now I've got patients in every state and some in other countries. What I've developed is a system to analyze and reverse engineer where their problem's coming from. So therefore, it doesn't matter. I fix people on the phone. I've been on a golf course just by a stretch. And it's just, it's when you do something long enough, it just becomes easy. And of course, I never complained about that. I didn't play that hole very well, but I didn't complain about it.
Wendy and I were talking about you because we play golf, but it's not just for athletes. I know your focus is on athletes, but what I really love about you is that you take what the best of the best in the world treatment-wise, and you apply that to the person who just wants to walk their dog every day without pain or get out of bed without a sore neck. Wendy, you and I were talking about his talent. Wendy introduced me to you at a conference, and I'll tell you what, it's very impressive, Wendy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the different diagnostic techniques than other clinics. And there's a reason that you have patients in all of the states. Tell us a little bit about the different diagnostic techniques that you use that are different from other clinics.
That's a great question. I think that when you come into my office, I'm going to look at your neurological system, orthopedic system, if that's a thing. I'm going to check your vascular. I'm going to check your inflammation system, your metabolic system. And then I'm going to look at and compare that to your history. And I think that the simplest way to say I've had 10 patients that all had right knee pain, the diagnosis is right knee pain, but there's no way all 10 people got that right knee pain the same way or why they have it, if that makes sense. So what I found over the years that if you treat somebody the same way, your percentages are really low of getting them better. So remember, my claim to fame is not only can I get you out of pain, but I actually get you back to function. That's what I learned in the sports medicine principles. We don't want our athletes to get surgery if we don't have to. And if they do need surgery, we want them back. My theme is really unchanged, but life has gotten a little more complicated. The medical books haven't really changed in 30 or 40 years. It's the same material they were teaching. Everybody comes in and says they have herniated disc, they're old, they need to lose weight, they got arthritis. They don't really have why they have those conditions. And so if you can do proper diagnostics, we have a standing MRI. Most of my patients come in because they hurt when they're walking or moving. So laying down MRIs for years, I've been looking at, are useless to me. They're useless to solving me unless it's a really bad thing. So just kind of think outside the box a little bit. A standing MRI didn't exist that was worth it until about 3 years ago. So I think I'm always in the right moments at the right time, looking for the right things to solve the same problems. When we talk about regenerative medicine, you know, it's a hot topic. A lot of people want to talk about it. We don't do it on everybody because it's not going to be worth. Like it's nice from a business standpoint because it can be very lucrative. But the reality is if it doesn't work, you didn't solve the problem and you don't get the next referral and you don't get the momentum of keeping that business going. And you know, we got into this business. I think every doctor I know, by the time they turn 40, they get burnt out. I've never had that because technology keeps going my way. Everybody wants to keep moving as they get older and they don't want to do what their parents did. They're trying to learn from their parents' lack of mobility. So you have to solve those problems. And so the diagnostics are very, very important because then it gives me how to give precise medicine to that particular person with the same diagnosis.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're not going to just be doing something because it's lucrative. Let's face it, there's a lot of people out there that are in it for the money and not necessarily for the end result. You're saying, for instance, one of the things that you talked to me about was cryogenic therapy, and that across the board, you'll go into some offices and they're like, oh yes, you definitely need cryogenic therapy. But you were saying that not everybody needs cryotherapy, and some people, it might not even be good for them. These are the kind of things I know our audience is wanting to hear about. I know I'm wanting to hear about these things. So who needs cryotherapy and who does not need cryotherapy or the cold plunges and those kind of things?
I see where you go. So we use cold, right? Mainly in acute settings for short periods of time to deal with inflammation that's caused by usually a trauma, right? So for an example, ankle sprain swells up. The ice compression, rest ice compression, elevation, all those lovely things you do is to really help with the pain. The reality is that once the swelling stops, you need to have mobility and temperature increase to carry circulation. So you might move from ice to contrast to then just heat, then no heat, just exercises. At some point in people's ages and certain diseases, cutting off vascular supply is not good to shock the body for an unhealthy person, like jumping into a cold plunge tub that's a 30 BMI and doesn't have very good cardio. You're not going to find good benefits for that person. It might help them mentally. I can't argue with that because they did something and they're pushing themselves a little bit. There's no long-term benefits from that. Here, there's a lot of mental, right? We want these cold shock proteins and these heat proteins, right? Sauna, for instance, that's been used for over 100 years and has tons of studies that show about healing and the thermodynamics of increasing that and getting toxins out, getting circulatory up. The body could use its natural stem cells and immune system to heal. So when you say cryotherapy, that would be the opposite. More for acute settings. So go back to an example, and Macy, you might have this, and we were doing 2 days and doing really long, hard runs and stuff like that. Yeah, they got us into a tub for our legs, but we didn't go below our legs. We didn't go to our organs. There's something to be said about that. Here you have some 20-year-old athletes that are probably in a great shape of their life, and they're still telling you way back then, but don't go above your waistline. We're really just trying to shock the healing from the overuse that we caused. Was that effective for me? I think it helped a little bit. Maybe helped me sleep a little bit. I was still sore the next day, but I was young enough to get through it. Would I do that now? Hell no. I'd be causing damage. I could use the cryotherapy route to help me, but I know intra-articular, I'm actually damaging the fluid inside my joints. If you enjoy it and you feel it helps you, I would always say, yeah, do it. But I don't think that we're going to see in the long term here, a lot of these people that are cold plunging are going to have some vascular diseases and, you know, they're going to increase some actual return problems if they're not healthy. But if you're healthy, I think it's great.
And never forget about it. It becomes bad and everybody's on Facebook and Instagram doing it. Now, what about when you do plunge and sauna and then you create a pump?
So now you're using contrast, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of research where you can use bands to restrict blood flow and contrast the heat and cold. The idea is that those people are very healthy and they're able to stimulate parasympathetic and sympathetic systems. It's almost like you're exercising, cooling down and heating up, like doing interval training by changing the temperatures of your body. And what is a cold plunge recommended for 3 minutes? Is that a 3-minute cold plunge? Is that how people do it?
Yeah, up to 10. Yeah, normally it starts with 30 seconds and they go up to 3 minutes. When I was doing it, I was doing 3 to 10 minutes and then going in the infrared sauna that was preheated. We were trying to create a pump to get the oxygen into the blood. You think there's some value to that?
If you're healthy, at any age, you have to be healthy to do that. And then you have to have the reason to cool something down. But, you know, there are some people doing anti-aging things by just getting up in the morning and before they have a cup of coffee, jumping in the cold plunge. It just doesn't even make sense to me because your body has now restored itself from a good night's sleep, hopefully. You should be waking up refreshed and ready to go. If you were sore from the night before, you would need heat at that point, warming techniques, right? Stretching, moving, blood flow, things like that. And I can't deny when people say they feel good. I don't ever get in the way of what you feel, but from a medical standpoint, cold plunging, you could just put an ice pack on your neck or down your spine and get better results because your nervous system stimulates cold shock proteins. I've never seen an organ that had cold temperatures work better. We're talking about kidneys, spleens, livers. They need heat. And your body's 98.6 degrees. Keeping that submerged, I would still be waiting on that research, right? Now, mental achievement, like I did it, I would say, okay, I get it. I woke my ass up because I got in the 32 degree plunge. When I was at school, this research was 57 and a half degrees was the ideal temperature for 10 to 12 minutes. There's no thermogenic benefits by doing it colder and shorter. because the water's thermodynamic and it needs time to get to certain levels. So you just need to let the body slowly absorb these things. So when I start seeing these people breaking ice on the top of their cold plunges, I was like, wow, that's like dangerous. I don't know if you lived up north and you fell through the ice. You didn't like it. You tried to get out as fast as you could because it was shocking and not good for you. I don't know where cold shock proteins help more than heat shock proteins from a circulatory thing, but you can get that from research. You can freeze, like we have it at the clinic. We have this whole helmet that has this pressurized system, especially if people have migraines or concussions. And we put it on there and the kind of gentle compression with cold. And not only does it knock out the symptoms, it's inflammation. So the person can leave without a headache. Doesn't mean we fixed the problem, but we solved that acute episode of what they're having.
I'm going to jump in on this, Dr. Scott Wagner. I want to do a disclaimer first. We are talking about a lot of medical stuff, a lot of treatments. So definitely check with your doctor. I don't want the liability to be there. These are our opinions. Definitely do your research. My question to you, Dr. Scott Wagner, I met Dr. Wagner in person at several different occasions, and what conversations we had about medical and then life and sports, all kind of intertwined. My question to you is, how important is it to stay moving? Because a lot of the injuries is caused, especially when you get older, is because you're not moving your joints, you're not moving your organs. And because you're not moving your organs, there's a chance of you actually injuring just from stepping down a step or going into the bathtub, with just simple things like that. And also another thing is sitting is the next health crisis. People that sit a lot, that don't do the movement, causes a lot of illnesses. What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Wagner?
I think they're saying sitting is the new smoking. Our bodies are meant to move. When things stop moving, we use the word stasis. You can put stasis with disease, death, necrosis. This is all stuff you learn in school. So movement is key. About 10 years ago, there was a study comparing weightlifting, running, and stretching, and comparing the longevity in the telomeres and the health of the actual inflammation of the body. And study after study shows that a human that has more muscle, maintains more muscle mass, has less likely of any diseases of dementia, heart disease, Parkinson's, diabetes. Like, you think about that. Just having more muscle density on you. Not if you can touch your toes, not if you can run long distances, right? They had no longevity markers, but muscles did. People who are working out consistently, doing resistance training 3 times a week at least, have the best chances of living longer. Now, my life example to you is if I have a patient that's a farmer, he doesn't go to the gym. He just every day, what does he do? Lift, move, do this, fix that, right? So he's always using his muscles. He comes into me and maybe on an MRI or an X-ray, I see tons of arthritis. He's overweight. He can't even touch his toes, but he's 80 years old and he's still moving. As opposed to the banker, right, who comes in here, who's been sitting most of his life, right? And now we have metabolic diseases, pre-diabetes. We have all these other things, cholesterol issues, all these problems, because doesn't even have enough muscle mass to help drive down the inflammation. So part of that study, what it proved in further studies, is muscles are the best filtrators of the inflammation in your body. So I don't know if that answers your question, but if we think of muscles, we think of moving, right? So movement would be the number one thing to keep the body alive, right? And muscles keep the body moving. So you have to feed the muscles, you have to keep them in shape. But just lifting weights, resistance training was the number one thing for longevity.
I'm hearing some good things here. First of all, I don't have to feel guilty about not doing the cold plunge every day. Who out there is feeling guilty about that? Everybody's like, oh, you haven't been doing that. You're not going to live long. Lifting weights or doing resistance training 3 days a week, I can do that. Actually, Rhett and I do try to do that. I do want to get into some of the really cool things that you're doing in your clinic. Methylation genetic testing. This is a buzzword right now. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing with that in your clinic and the changes you're seeing with your patients?
Yeah, so I was a never big believer in supplementation from a medical standpoint. Not that I don't think it doesn't work. I think we need to supplement our deficiencies. I was just never able to have the technology to find out like what to tell you and how much to take. For a drug, I could tell you exactly what to take. They've got these huge billionaire companies telling me exactly studies that they did. And I know the half-life of the drug and when it's going to get out of your body, if that makes sense, right? What do I know about vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin D? I don't know anything about that per person. So when you think about methylation, I always tell people it's a genetic test. But what is methylation is simply stating what you're eating and what you're ingesting. How does that become, what does it become inside you? What is that process? If you and I both ate an apple, how do we both process that genetically? We can't process it the same. We're not the same people. The only two people that could process the same would be twins, right? Identical twins. And how much vitamin C to take. That's why people say, oh, I can't take that. That worked for me. I never really got involved in doing supplementation because I didn't know what to give people on the level that I wanted to give it. So a methylation test and a genetic test would give me the breaks, right? And we were using a test for the last 5 years that showed us the five breaks. We just moved to a different company that uses AI that gives you 720 trillion differentials. So I'm like, wow, okay, yeah, let's move there. That's better. And so now I noticed that when we were doing our methylation supplements, as we moved to these ones, the inflammation levels had dropped so much. My levels are really helping. Just that from a personal note, we use it to drive down inflammation and to give every human the right nutrients they need to start healing. And so, you know, I specifically use it not to solve diseases, to help my patients with their problems. They continue to use it because it's easy, it's consistent, it's designed for them, right? So it goes back to how much vitamin C should you take? What's your filtration rate? And if you took vitamin C at 9 o'clock in the morning, how much do you have of it by 3 o'clock? This company has solved everything for me to keep the supplements not only identical, but time released and perfectly designed for you, basically from one test that you have to take once in your life. A funny story, you know, if you guys have kids, I had a daughter that never liked eggs and a son that never liked anything green. You grow up and you're like, no, you got to eat your greens. Oh, eggs are great protein. You're telling them all this stuff. So as an adult, then you do this test on them and they're like, oh, it's the wrong protein ratio for her. Oh, he should never eat this. So you find that out. And these are my kids. So, you know, your kids probably better than anyone because you're feeding them. It sounds like a nightmare to feed them differently, but as a parent, I would have naturally done that if I knew that wasn't designed for them. There would have been no arguments. What was good for me was not good for them, so to speak, or what I was taught that was good was not good for them, precisely. And so as a normal kid, they just fight it or feed it to the dog or leave it on the plate. So as a parent, you're just like, am I going to have this argument today? It would have been great to give them what they needed.
I guess to recap on that, the methylation genetic testing, it goes to the cellular level and lets you know which foods you can process for your body requirements, and then also which supplements you not only need, but the ones that you don't need and are not going to work for you. And I think that you had talked about some weight loss components to that. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so weight loss as we get older is probably inflammation. Instead of that, we should probably get to the real sciences. You're so inflamed, you can't process the food that you used to eat the same way. That would just be a chronic inflammatory process that methylation could easily fix. I do know that I've always worked out, kind of ate properly, organic, and all that stuff. But, you know, I lost over 27 pounds just by changing a methylated folate because I didn't know my body was super reactive to folate. And I have one genetic break. Using Kristen as an example, she had a hard time sleeping at night, tossing and turning, brain racing. She had my break and another break. So she took something that calmed her brain down, which is a COMP2 break. Once you know your genetic breaks and you got a supplement for them, it's amazing how symptoms start reducing over time. And I don't, if you guys not sleeping very well, you kind of know how frustrating the next day is when you just live on this cortisol nightmare and adrenal glands. So that's just going to cause more problems. If I'm trying to heal somebody's knee with non-surgical solutions, and especially regenerative medicine, that person's not going to heal. We use this to get the patients in the best baseline that they can within 90 days.
You said something I want to just ask a question. I know we've got a lot of people that are probably dying to ask you questions, but I've noticed for me personally, and I know a lot of people are the same way, every season our allergies get worse. Year after year, our food intolerances get more and more. Gut health is not where it used to be. We have sensitivities and we get inflamed on foods and supplements that we used to contain. Do you see a lot of that? And would this type testing help identify some of the areas? I think kind of you a little bit answered that. You had a folic reaction. Is that something that could really help heal gut lining and irritation and things like that?
Yeah, so I'm not an expert at leaky gut and all that stuff, but I do know it's a huge problem with the immune system and how we try to, the gut actually stimulates your immune system working, and it works very closely with the brain. So the problem is, if you start trying to fix the gut, how are you getting those nutrients into somebody, and what kind of nutrients do you need? Genetic tests, we have an environmental test we do, we have a food sensitivity test, and then we got blood testing. So with all those four testings that are standard with that are covered by insurance and Medicare, right? You would find out where this person's living. And here's an interesting thing. One of them is it's your dog that's now causing you to be slightly more inflamed as your immune system is getting compromised slowly over time. So now you have an allergy to your dog, but you love your dog, so you never would blame the dog. And no one's going to get rid of the dog, right? So you can do immune therapies to help the immune system get stronger. But if you don't fix the original problem, what's causing inflammation, you lose the attrition of that. It's like taking a drug at the same dosage. After a while, it just becomes less potent to the solution. You really have to do all these tests to find out how you are being inflamed and what are all the contributors. And when you find that, it's really nice for the patients because I have someone that has low back pain. They've been to every doctor up and down the East Coast. And I do this test and they have back pain every year at the same time. And the back goes out at the same time every year. They've known it because they've been suffering for so long. So we do a test on them. And I said, hey, does your back go out on August? And like in the summers every time? They go, yeah. I said, yeah, so all these grasses are in bloom here. And because it's such a mild allergy, let's call it a sensitivity, it cumulatively doesn't throw your back out till August. But the sensitivity started in June. Does that make sense? Because it's so slow. Like chronic diseases are slow diseases. So you got to look at acute and chronic at the same time. So all our testing is designed to do that. I really have to know who I'm accepting as a patient if I want to guarantee some kind of favorable outcome. I try to get rid of all guesswork. As opposed to the other person that has muscle spasms in the back caused by mechanical irritation. And that could be fixed traditionally with trigger points, adjustments, stretching, and all that. I don't see those people, though. Those people get really helped. I don't see the easy cases. I see the people that have been suffering for years, repeat offenders, and they're trying to look for the next solution.
You're definitely saying a lot of stuff that's striking a chord for me. And I know that a lot of people are going to have this question. How do we get to you? We've got your website up there. So if we wanted to start this process with you to feel better, Is it starting on your website?
Yeah. If you called, then they would get you through the system. Alexis or Katie. What typically happens is if you were a regular patient that could drive to my clinic, we would set you up for that 2-day process. If you're from California, Florida, Texas, we try to set up a nice 3-day thing for you. We have hotels right across the clinic. They might have a doctor they're working with or trust, somebody that they trust to work with, whether that's their chiropractor, PT, you know, whoever, personal trainer. And so what we try to do is we do our analysis, come up with a plan, and then send them home. And then they might come back in 4 weeks or they might not need to. Some people come because we're the only people that do certain types of regenerative medicine, like in-house. They don't trust traveling to other countries, but we harvest the stem cells right in our office. So people like that. And because they've been suffering for so long and we know it's going to take time to fix them. It's not so important that they live here. I just know we had a lady that didn't want a hip replacement. She literally moved to the Hampton Inn for, I think, six weeks. She says, I don't want to do it. And does whatever I have to do. I don't know how she did it. The case managers make that happen. The Hampton Inn or whatever, the suites there give us a good deal. Who comes to a hotel for 6 weeks? We've had a lot of patients that do that. They stay for a week or two, get some direction, get some traction on their health. And it's really nice to see now they're on their way. If they have good medical service, so we'll research where they are. If they live in the middle of nowhere, then it's kind of tough. But if they live somewhere in Florida, New York, California, all these big places, there's always tons of doctors I can find that can finish the job.
So I do want to touch on this before we open it up to the audience for questions. Two things that I know you do in your office that you may not typically find as your local doctor, and that is the autologous adipose stem cells that you're using there. And then also the extracorporeal blood oxygenation and ozonation, those two things. And I know that the audience wants to talk. So just will you briefly talk about those two things? Because I know there's a lot of curiosity about these advanced techniques.
So I think the ozone, the one you talked about, the EBO2 or the MAH, we do both. Oxygen, very simply, and this has been on Instagram by many doctors, the presence of oxygen in tissue means the tissue is healthy. The absence of oxygen, pathologists use to determine the rate of the disease or the nature of it or how long it's been there. So as we get older, for many reasons, it's very important to get oxygen distributed to the tissues. The brain's going to take up most of it and the fat, so you really will suffer in other areas. We use the EBU machine just to describe it. It's like a dialysis machine. We're taking blood out. We're filtering it, we're ozonating it, and then we're filtering it back in. The other one, we're just taking blood out, putting oxygen in it, and that's a much quicker one. We can do that one in 20 minutes. We do a two-pass. We've had a lot of people with autoimmune diseases that came in with back pain or whatnot, and their autoimmune diseases are getting better as well. So I essentially look at it as we're just cleaning up the body. They've been static so long. They've been inflamed so long. It's just like water that's not moving. It becomes stagnant, and it has bacteria and all that stuff pooling up. So we can flush it out and re-energize it with new oxygen, then follow it up with an IV full of amino acids to help the building blocks. Most of those people just get out of pain just from that. We didn't fix the mechanical problem, but they feel great. We just got a lot of people that are unhealthy. It's case by case. That answers that one topic. What was the other one? Oh, the adipose?
Stem cells.
Yeah, so we would put oxygen in one of our regen things because we can inject oxygen into a joint like a shoulder. We've seen healing happen with that and rotator cuffs. So it's kind of interesting for small tears, but that usually happens in really healthy, active people. We do PRP. Don't really like PRP inside the joints. PRP is taking someone's blood, centrifuging it, getting the stem cells out of there. It's a low-count stem cell, so for a really healthy person or really healthy muscle tissue, that will work really well for people. We use placenta-based Morton's jelly. They're donated, right? So what that is and that's been going on for a while where you order it from the company and it's certified and we inject into the areas and we get a lot of healing with that. And we're finding fine little joints tend to work a little bit better, but the large joints don't work as well. So I moved to adipose, which is very vigorous, very sturdy as far as just the cell itself. So really interesting enough, we can actually harvest your own stem cells. Studies have shown the stem cells, the fat storage that people have can be 17 to 25 years younger cells. The telomeres are younger than the actual age of the person because they've been stored. So that's really good. So now if I have a 50-year-old, I'm using 20-year younger stem cells on average. The other good thing about the stem cells, when I order something, the FDA can only give me a certain amount of stem cells per ml in vial. Well, with the adipose, when I harvest each ml, I get about 10 million stem cells. With joints, it becomes a volume game. If you have 30 years of degeneration, you're not going to fix it with one stem cell injection, but you could every 16 weeks get incremental improvements. With the Morton's jelly, that's going to be really super expensive. With the adipose, not only can we take it, we can send it out and store it and expand it for you. now in this country. So we do both. We're really excited about the adipose. A nice ruling came out about a year and a half ago with the government allowing it. It's just a PRP on steroids, so to speak. What I like about it is the biggest complaint I've ever had from every patient is, where do these cells come from? Like, what are you putting into my body? But now it's like, oh, my fat can help me? Dig away. And they're just like, this is great because it's bioidentical. It matches. There's going to be no side effects. Not that we have any side effects from before, but patients just feel really good about it. And there's not so much stress on this procedure fixing them because they can just, for $1,000, order more vials for the next round. And that just makes more sense. Like, you're going to go to the gym more than once. So why wouldn't you, if you have a 20 to 30 year problem of degeneration, it might take a little more time. It gets easier each time. So like the first semester, I always tell people when we show before and afters in our lectures and someone looks like a bone on bone knee and then they see a perfect knee, right? Everybody wants the perfect knee, but I just tell them how this patient got from A to B. And then I'll show another knee for another 70-year-old and it looks perfect, you know, maybe in 6 months. And I'll tell them the journey that this person had to take to get that knee. It's great that the patients just say, yeah, please tell the world. Because, you know, when you look at someone's x-ray, it's real. It's not fake. So it's real. And then they're all in-house. And it doesn't matter how much I published or share with orthopedic journals. They just think, it's like, we have no interest. I'm like, okay. But that's why we have fun, because we're getting so many great results. And that's why we're trying to, in our company, saying we're a non-surgical or post-surgical solution for you guys. You know, it goes back to what Credit was saying. We got to keep muscles and we got to keep mobility, right? So, and here's another thing weird, like when people get joint replacements or spinal surgeries, who takes care of you after that? You've just changed the biomechanics of it. No one has a plan for all these people with metal joints, and they have to be taken care of. Not the metal, the joint itself, the screws, the vascularization of the bone, the tendon insertions, the vascularization of the area. If they haven't, if they've replaced the joint and haven't fixed the mechanics of it, that joint's not going to last. I'm trying to help orthopedics as well, because you should go to a post-rehab that makes the joint work forever, not 7 to 10 years for moderate exercise. I don't think anybody does a joint replacement and goes through all that work and that pain to get 7 to 10 years out of it. That's the national
stuff. I'm thinking we need that link to the Hampton Inn. We're all going to Virginia. I still have questions, but I want to allow the audience to be able to ask some questions. Caroline, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Hey, Wendy, I was ready. I wanted to ask you a question so bad. Hello there. I'm Dr. Wagner. It's been so interesting listening to what you're saying. I'm a retired registered nurse, but I was an administrative nurse. I'm not like Wendy. I didn't do anesthesia and understand a lot of what you said. But my question for you is, in April, I began having really painful episodes in my shoulders, both of them. I'm 61 years old. I didn't celebrate my last 2 birthdays. So y'all, really, I'm still 59. But the body is 61 and I'm sedentary. I'm going to start doing some resistive weight training 3 times a week at home. They sent me to an orthopedic surgeon. He thought it's tendonitis and said that before he can do an MRI, I have to do 6 weeks of therapy. My question for you is, the pain clinic, I went back to them though, because I said, I can't go through this pain until the therapy kicks in. So she did get approval from my insurance for a steroid injection. Will it be possible that I could cause injury by overworking that shoulder in therapy? Because the steroid is now going to mask the pain, which would tell me to say, whoa, I need to stop. I'm afraid the injection has worked so well that I wouldn't feel the pain and maybe press through something that I shouldn't.
I think you're at a good junction because you had success with a steroid shot, so that's good. Just be aware that in common literature, you're only allowed 3 steroid shots per joint for a lifetime. That's a 101 in orthopedics. I've had patients that have come in for 12 or 15.
He saw you too. You got up and left.
Yeah. So what you're asking me is the steroid going to fix the biomechanical problem? The answer is no. But did you get pain relief? Yes. The idea is you're on the right track. Let's get rid of the inflammation first and then solve the biomechanical issue. I've never seen a shoulder problem without a neck and girdle mechanical problem either. I've never seen a shoulder problem that wasn't acute, right? Like someone just tore the rotator cuff doing something active. That, you know, that could be a shoulder problem in itself. But I've never seen somebody working out, getting inflammation, having chronic pain, good days, bad days, without other problems associated with it.
Did identify a mild OA at C3 through C5.
Right. So in my exam, we would catch the neurological complication, the biomechanical orthopedic complication at the level, and then we'd come up with a plan, not to get rid of your pain, but what would be the proper steps in engaging a rehab? So I would always tell people, if the nerve controls the muscle, the first thing you have to do is attack that part. Then the second part would be to strengthen it so it doesn't come back with the larger muscles. It's just a tiered system. Not everybody's like that. Some people could just work with mechanics, but usually a lot younger. So if you told me you were 61 and the muscles in the back of your neck were always tight, now we know where the mechanical issues lie. And then we just go very specifically, how do we move you from bad mechanics to good mechanics? I guarantee it's not because the pain's gone. It's because you have bad mechanics. So when someone says, hey, I'm going to go work out and lift weights, how do you know you're not going to create compensatory patterns? Those are the kind of things that we get in the clinic all the time. But what I was saying is, it's great that you got the steroid relief, but now you're asking as a nurse, if I go do something, will I cause my pain to come back? Or could I be damaging that joint without knowing it? And the answer is yes. We learned this in the 80s and 90s with football players, you know, giving steroid shots and they feel good and they go back and play. And by the time they're 40, they can't walk. So we've learned this. This is old school. So new school is, how do we get the inflammation out of the joint? How do we get the joint to work properly? And what are all the complicating factors that led it down this pathway? Because it seems like it's just random, like it just comes and goes, and then it comes, and then you go see a doctor. And that's what we're trained to do. The system's set up for you to wait till you have an acute episode. But if you think about the system, the same system is actually designed for you to hurt when you fell, not when you just woke up with a numb arm without any trauma. So now you're taking the same medicine for acute medicine, applying it to chronic medicine. And that's why those surgeries have such negative impact on these people.
Thank you very much.
Great question, Caroline. Anybody else have a question for Dr. Wagner?
I'm going to come see you.
So
I'm going to be at the Hampton Inn with my Hilton Honor self. And
I think they're having a meetup.
Wagner, I have a three-part question. Number one, he's one of the top golfers at both Farmington and Keswick. How important is the golf game from the ground up, from your feet up? What's the best possible golf shoe you could wear? Number two, in the racing world, at the highest level, who in the United States has one of the fastest racing times for the last 4 or 6 races? Number three, who is your best partner that you've ever had at a member guest in your lifetime at Farmington?
Nothing biased about any of those questions.
He's there, Dr. Wagner.
We'll have to go with the William Harry with the enhanced biomechanics ground feel for the players to feel their balance through their feet all the way to their body in contact with the ball. We'll leave that person anonymous. And Red, it's you. Yes, you're my best partner we've ever had. Even though we're still in honeymoon,
people look up the racing times for Dr. Scott Wagner in the highest level of Formula One racing. He is number one in the U.S. right now. His average speed was somewhere 160 miles per hour taking the turns. I watched the last race. It's pretty incredible. If you like racing, it's impressive. He likes to drive fast and it's pretty cool.
Only on a racetrack.
So many things to talk about. I mean, we obviously need to have you back for a race car episode for sure. Yeah. Does anyone else have a question before we start winding it down here?
Let's take a picture. Caroline or anyone can take a picture. Okay, ready?
I'm totally going to come see you. You are going to see me in your clinic. And Chris and I will go have dinner. Everything you've said has really struck a chord. So we can't thank you enough for being on tonight. I know Wendy and I have been really looking forward to having you on tonight. And I have a feeling we'll look on YouTube and there are going to be a million questions. Wendy, do we have anybody else that has a question, or are we good to let this good doctor go?
Consuelo. Go ahead, Consuelo.
Go ahead.
Oh, what a beautiful segment, ladies. And thank you for coming. I'm an advocate for Arthritis Society of Canada and help many patients with various types of arthritis diseases in pain management and fatigue. I would love to introduce you to some of our executives to see if we can help 6 million Canadians who are living with a form of arthritis disease.
I grew up in Toronto, so that would be easy. My daughter lives there, so I can help a couple Canucks.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
Excellent. Excellent. I still want to know, I'm fascinated about the whole stem cell, all of the things, whether they're intravenous or just directly injected.
It's really good. We do a class. I do a class once a month because it's so complicated for people. But technically, they were renamed, not to a fancy name, but they're MSC cells now, right? And what that means is they're signaling cells, right? So when you inject a steroid into an area, it's a signaling cell for their brain to start getting rid of inflammation. And just like Caroline, it was injected to the area, tendon, joint, whatever, and she got relief from it, right? So if you actually were able to put growth factors, cytokines, and all these things in that same area, the same signaling would happen. There would be a signaling that said, oh my God, we have to do some repairing. Our immune system has to start, we just damaged this area, and then we would start trying to heal it. Does that make sense? So MSC cells would be a way better place for people to start researching and start learning. You put in stem cells, you might go down a weird path, you know, because there's just so many weird history of that name. But MSC cells using for autoimmune diseases, MSC cells for any disease. And you're like, huh, I might get you to a nicer Google search, so to speak. And then you're kind of, okay, now you're learning how these things could help you. And then what we've done at the clinic is we try to show you those cells can't work if you're inflamed or you've got bad mechanics. So now you have to put a system with them to make them work. It's good to be fascinated by it, but, you know, don't use them if you're not, there's no guarantee outside of it.
Where is this class that you're talking about? Where can we find that class? Is it online?
Yeah, I guess we could start videoing them.
No, but yeah, you should do it on Tatter.
Yeah, our patients, we host it once a month. And it's good because once a month in the cycle of patients, it takes us about maybe 2 or 3 weeks to get them out of the pain and inflammation cycle. Now that their pain and inflammation levels are down, it's time to start healing. They've forgotten everything about any stem cell things we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So they come into this class and learn how these cells were particularly chosen for them and how they work to help them. And it makes it a lot easier for them to go forward. Sometimes it's a large purchase. And again, I would describe why I went to adipose, because the cost is better and they're using their own fat to help them.
I definitely like the fact that I'm going to be using something that came from my own body. I'm sure everyone else would agree with that. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Scott Wagner. You can find him at, let's see, where do our links go? Up at the top.
You could definitely give my email out, because if you go through the system, you're just going through a huge system now. But if you wanted to give my email out from the people on this feed, I could, you know, guide them in the right direction. Sometimes I know the doctor they need to see in their area, and they just don't know where to look. It could solve some of their problems. They don't have to come up to Virginia, even though it's beautiful country here and lots of vineyards and lots of fun stuff to do.
Sure, they cut that on out of the need.
What's your name?
Yeah, I don't know how this whole thing works, but sometimes it's really simple to fix people or get them going in the right direction. And if it takes me 30-second email, it's just easy peasy stuff. There's enough sick people in 300 miles of my clinic that come see me, and we stay busy enough. So there's lots of good doctors out there that do somewhat similar stuff that I do. And sometimes there's better doctors out there that cure autoimmune diseases. So we refer out to those guys too.
Well, thank you for coming today. We certainly appreciate you being here
with all of your
cutting edge technology and just fascinating stuff. We're really happy that you were able to join us today. We do want to say a special thank you to William & Harry, our sponsor. You can find them over at williamandharry.com. They are the luxury brand, exotic golf shoes. You do not want to miss out on those. And with all that being said, we want to thank our audience for being here today. We appreciate everyone coming in to say hello to Dr. Wagner. For those of you on X and also YouTube, please join us on Chatter 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays so that you can ask our guest questions. With all that being said, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks.
Bye.